So we're gonna open this up with a wrap on NeoCon, the annual furniture industry conference in Chicago. We sent reporter Charles C. Dewey down there to take a look around and bring back extensive Business Journal reporting. And one of the things I always find most interesting about NeoCon and covering the furniture industry, period, not just that it dominates the creative class in this region, but also because of their research and what they're finding on, you know, behaviors and patterns and trends. And a big part of the Business Journal reporting this week in print as well as online has been about those kinds of surveys. And I sort of centered in on an interview Charles C. did with Herman Miller in regard to how they were coordinating design of their new furniture. There's not a lot of new product on the market right now to talk about so much, which is, I know, Mike Dunlap's big complaint, but the research is intriguing and kind of taking all of that design in a different place. And what they're saying at Herman Miller is that there's a need to improve work experiences. And they have studied living office spaces, quote unquote, their brand, with from global corporations in a variety of industries and also local startups in the Grand Rapids area. And they looked at what was preferred in an office setting, and most people are thinking about collaboration. You know, that's such a key word. And what they found was, you know, just more than half of your office employees are doing collaboration, while others need to work individually. And how do the two kind of merge in the middle? There, one of the trends is making your office look more like the living room, but apart from sofas and white beds, the innovation they're coming up with helps improve those efficiencies between work groups, retain talent, improve brand connection between employees and their relationship to the employer. And it's all a part of how you present your workspace. One of the stories they were telling was about a New York firm, a startup that thought its casual environment needed to become more formal to support its growth, so that when clients or potential customers walked through the door, they, you know, had an immediate impression of them as, you know, not just a startup but a company here to do business through the millennium. So they broke down again by activities and workflow, and it come down to the key words for business. Any business owner, any CEO, is to understand people and designing for fundamental needs. It's not about the whiteboard and the sofa. It's how to create a work environment that automatically provides that flow, designing from the person out, from individuals out, and making sure those spaces are the most productive spaces for those individual as well as group needs.
I wonder if the cubicle was removed from the conversation.
Well, in some cases, the cubicle is necessary for those individuals that, you know, have some intensity, you know, in getting things done. You know, here's my part to add to what the group is kind of going to come back and discuss. So it was an interesting breakdown. The Business Journal is reporting quite a bit more on that in the coming week. And I want to say I'm going to bring you kind of back up to date from when we last talked. The West Michigan Hispanic Chamber of Commerce held their first Latino business pitch competition. It was so cool to see this, not just, you know, kind of a region-wide, you know, people come in and, you know, there are five finishers or whatever for you know, a relatively cool amount of money if you're a startup. They set up their own pitch competition. Fifth Third Bank, among other corporate sponsors, were very involved in this. $5,750 to spread around to a number of winners. They had 18 Latino entrepreneurs participate in this. First place went to Al Cruz for I Ride Smart, a Grand Rapids-based luxury taxi car rental transportation service. He got the big prize, $2,500. I won't go through the whole list, but second place was Juana Garcia Cruz, who won $1,500 for New Valley Landscape in Ada, a woman-owned business. Ada, based in Ada, so
good.
Spread around the community, seed money for these these local businesses. Mm-hmm. Very cool to see,
and hopefully, you know, there's an accountability that one finds out where they are a year from now.
Well, we will be back, and so will the West Michigan Hispanic Chamber with planning a bigger, better event even for next year. Get the buzz going on that one, and they'll have even more competitors for the cash. Here we go. Some say a city is only as diverse as its music scene. WGVU certainly contributes to that with the jazz and the, you know, the support for all of those local events. And boy, Town Square Media just launched another new brand, 24-hour format, Magic 94.1 FM and 1410 AM, and MyMagicGR.com to stream. Urban music. All daily program demonstrates the diversity of this market. And in addition to a nationally recognized lineup of hosts with different programs, they're bringing on Bishop Marvin Sapp to join the Sunday Inspiration lineup. And that will be by month's end, I believe. So urban music in Grand Rapids at 94.1 R&B. Lots of really interesting plans, too, for local talent to become a part of this. I thought it was interesting, too, the target, females, African-American females, 25 to 54. I kind of like it. Women dominate the urban market.
Women dominate them. Yes. And that'll be, do we know if that's music and talk or
yes,
a combination
little both.
Of both?
Yeah. Yep, they're doing
great.
Both.
Carol. Yep. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. How long have we heard retail in the downtown?
Oh.
Downtown needs a grocery store. Downtown needs a grocery store. Well, my goodness.
What's going to happen, Carol?
Business Journal broke the story last week. Rockford Construction is announcing that it has plans with Meijer for a grocery store, a small casual retail operation at Bridge and Seward. And it's a big deal for all of them because this is a nice development. It really anchors, you know, all of what's happening on the west side, whether it's Bridge or Leonard or, you know, even farther into the west Grand Rapids neighborhood, the near neighborhood. But what I found most interesting about this story was the aftermath, the comments we received. And I love it. The headline said Downtown Grocery Store Plan. Meijer, you know, is going to bring this in. People were taking issue as to whether or not the Bridge Street location was the real downtown. Shelley, this argument has been going on since the 1980s, since Bob Gruder's built Bridgewater. You know, the real downtown, well, here we are again. So the Business Journal also this week in the print edition came back and said, okay, that means Duttler Family Foods, a block from where the proposed Meijer store is. And Ralph's on Leonard, Kingma's on Plainfield, and even Downtown Market, which are all 5 miles from, you know, a little less than 5 miles from City Hall, are not really downtown. If you go by those people who are saying the real downtown.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting. We are going to follow up on the great debate, where is the real downtown? And we're certainly going to follow up on Meyer's plans for the grocery store in the downtown area.
Was there a forecast? I mean, will that be, I'm looking at the very end, when do the doors open and when do I, get my grocery shopping list
good for
ready.
You, because you are on the west side.
Yes, I am.
This is it's a retail development, and Meijer is a part of this major retail development. So it'll be likely a year before that actually the doors are open.
Maybe
and
you're
your
to talk
produce
about it.
Is ready. Your Michigan produce from Meijer.
Yay! Gosh. Careful, late with this Gemini Pub. Yep.
Cheers. Let's talk about another grocery store, Kingmas. Yeah, three generations, sold in 2014 to Alan Hartline. And Alan has really made some big renovations in the store on Plainfield, not in a real downtown, Shelley. It's on Plainfield.
Oh, well, put your
but,
vote in.
You know, people are kind of... the neighborhood has always loved that store for the convenience. It's locally owned Michigan produce. But they, he did some things with branding and he did some things with the display. And he also told the Business Journal in another breaking news segment this month that they're planning to move out. Not move out of off the Plainfield location, but spread out. So they will be opening in the new Ada Village redevelopment on the southeast corner of Fulton and Ada. Now I'm going to tell everybody again. It's Fulton and Ada Drive. Kingmas is going to be in there with its specialty produce and product, and everybody loves their meat counter. Yay. And it will be an experiential store for those who want to come in on Saturday, look for a little something for dinner, fresh and different products, and an intimate experience, a sense of pride with Michigan and Grand Rapids products and supporting the local economy. And this isn't going to be the last one. He's planning his expansion plans move beyond the Ada Cascade area. That's all unannounced at this time.
Kingsma Market, still the title, though? Still the...
yes, ma'am. Yes, that's the brand.
Yep, branding is
Hallelujah.
Good. Yes.
Okay.
All right, what else? You want to continue?
Well,
I
thought maybe I'd close or kind of wrap some of this up with a look at the local economy.
Okay.
Through the spring months, it's been very slow growth. And we hear that so often. It's slow and steady in Grand Rapids. But even across the state of Michigan, according to business leaders from Michigan and interviews the Business Journal did with Doug Rothwell, the CEO, that slow growth has been forecast by the CEOs and business leaders they've surveyed across the state. Now, Grand Rapids is a big participant in those surveys and on the Business Leaders from Michigan board. They... Despite the suggestion that the Michigan as well as the national economy are going to be very slow, they're planning, more than half of these leaders anticipate their companies are going to add jobs and make capital investments over the next 6 months. The hang up, a part of it, is the pessimistic outlook among business leaders in regard to the gridlock in Congress. And we're not seeing much better come from the state of Michigan. So, Michigan's certainly not as bad as what we're seeing, in Congress. But that is being, seen in surveys as a piece of the slowing economy. Maybe if we get through these presidential elections, Shelley, we'll see
some
of it
we
speed
get
up.
Through, yeah.
Now, a lot of that, a lot of the survey that BLM was seeing, we also have seen in the local survey by Brian Long. He is the director of supply management research at Seidman College of Business here at Grand Valley State University. And what he's showing, in fact, not just in the survey of, people's opinions, but the index of business improvement backtrack from plus 7 in April to 0 by the end of May. Production index retreated from plus 4, and the index of purchases gave up all previous gains. Even though the auto parts suppliers are operating at full capacity, Brian writes that new orders seem to be slow coming in. The office furniture business remains stable. Smaller firms are setting records, but the growth is going to be slow. So once again, confirmed even in the local purchasing manager's report. Very, very interesting. We're going to, you know, that's not to say that we're going backward, only that it won't be as robust as we've seen. Maybe I'll take a day off.
You know what? That's, tis the summer season.
Maybe I'll do that on Monday when my son comes in from New York.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Joy.
Where will you take him in West Michigan,
Carol?
Well,
we are definitely going to be traveling the restaurant scene in Grand Rapids, so making comparisons.
Speaking of, I had we did a phone interview with the chefs from your
Tim
June.
England.
Yeah,
you know, Tim England
makes
cool headlines no matter where he goes. You know, a super chef and teacher at the Grand Rapids Community College hospitality program at the Secchia Center, and then off to Kent Country Club, and then he's now Beacon Hill. In fact, almost everyone on staff reading the Business Journal story on the way in which he presents meals and prepares them, Michigan product, their own gardens at Beacon Hill, people were saying, can I rent over there? Maybe I can get a lease.
Get a visitor's pass.
Hill.
Yes. Well, it was evident
great
that
amount of pride.
He has
and if
the
we
passion.
Have, if you,
yep,
we
take,
have one more minute.
We have 2 minutes.
The creative class survey for the state of Michigan, conducted by a Detroit-based nonprofit that looks and measures at just the creative class economies, shows overall Michigan's seen a slight increase in employment in those industries. Grand Rapids is a big part of that because it's primarily known for design and has accounted for 53% of creative class employees in the state of Michigan and 63% of all creative industry wages. And the top creative occupations, a little bit of a surprise, software developers, graphic designers, and computer programmers. Design now represents the largest creative industry sector in the state in terms of total employees.
Well, next
very
time
cool.
we talk to those from Kendall or other colleges
that's
that
right.
are
well,
educating us.
John Berry's program,
yep.
teaching design principles. Well, here we are.
I have a nephew starting
of it all.
Nephew starting in Grand Valley in the fall, studying art. I imagine there'll be a little design involved.
Well, how fun.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Yes, absolutely. The problem solving of design. You'll have to report back to me on those specific classes and takeaways.
I will consider that my assignment. Carol Vallade, how do we find out more information about you and yours?
grbj.com, 459-4545, or cvallade@geminipub.com.
Thanks, Carol.
Cheers. Let's take a walk.